We respectfully acknowledge the Boon Wurrung and Wurundjeri peoples of the Kulin Nation, paying our respects to their elders past and present.
We're back.
I'm back for episode 2. Yeah, because everyone excited. Loved it so much.
Oh, we got a lot of people were excited about it. It was very nice. It built up our ego a little bit.
Yeah, thank you for your support. Everyone was really kind. I just have been getting so many messages from people being like, "Oh, I'm so excited for this. This is so like cool," and like that they're really so liking exciting. It. So.
Did you like listening to yourself?
Yeah, it was actually really fun. Like, I definitely cringed. Like, I was like, oh, one of the things, I don't know if I should say it because everyone's going to start to notice it, but I say like a lot. And when I noticed it, I just couldn't stop hearing it. So I'm going to try and make I'm going to try and make a conscious effort to not say it as much. So yes,
well, but you're going to notice it now. My conscious effort is to not sound like a lispy mumbling mammoth in the corner.
You sounded really good.
Okay, I'm going to put on my podcast voice. My mom said I sounded sexy. So I was happy with that.
Oh my God. That's good. Yes.
Thanks, Mom.
So sexy.
Thanks, Mom.
Oh, yeah. Cool. So you're going to be going first this week because
I went first last week. Okay.
Is there anything that we need to touch on? Any like
corrections?
That's what I was thinking.
I don't think so. We're not problematic yet. We haven't done anything.
Also, I forgot to say my dad listened to it and he was like, "Oh, it's really good. It's really funny." But he was like, "Did you mean to like?" I'm saying like so much now. Did you mean to keep the parts in where Camille needed to go to the toilet and like and you know we're
it's
getting
part of the banter, Kent?
I was kind of, you know, I was like, yep, it's part of it. It's just banter. Us. You know, gotta keep it raw.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
I edited a lot other of shit that, out. Like I edited
I know,
a good
I could tell
40 minutes.
Yeah. Kent. Yeah.
So
oh, he'll listen to this and he'll hear you.
Good. He sent me a really nice message. He said, "Well done."
Oh, really?
Like, thank you.
Oh, that's good. I saw your mum's shout out for us as well. Yeah. And my mum did one for us as well.
Oh, yeah. God,
thanks, parents.
Look at our parents.
So nice. They're just supporting
day one, man. Okay.
Is there anything else? Do you want to begin?
I think I should. Ooh.
Yeah.
So this week, our theme is the paranormal. Ghosts?
Yeah, cool. Paranormal ghosts. Oh, I wanted to say we wanted it to be like our kind of, I was thinking that it would be good if it carried on with our theme of episode 1, which was the first true crime or murder stories
I didn't follow that.
That influenced us, but I didn't either. Okay, I didn't either. Good. So it was a bit hard and I wanted to say like my story, I was thinking of doing that one by my auntie, but I ended up picking up thinking something different. So it doesn't go with that theme, but maybe one day we will do that in the future as well when we have maybe some more time to think about it.
Yeah. To be honest, I don't
paranormal
have a
normal ghost.
Yeah. I don't have a ghost story that got me into it. Like Ghostbusters or not Ghostbusters, Mythbusters, but they don't even do ghosts. I don't know why I related that to that.
Yeah, right.
I feel like just that kind of
it
idea.
Was just my spiritual auntie, but I'll talk about that later anyway.
Yeah,
you go with your story now.
Okay, I've been looking at my computer screen without my glasses all day because my glasses are the wrong
your
prescription.
Eyes hurt?
Yeah.
That's not good, Camille.
No, I need to get new glasses. Anywho, we'll power through.
I'm assuming you know the story.
Yeah.
I think it's a pretty basic story that I feel like most people are gonna know, but
okay,
I'm just gonna retell it anyway. So yep. I got my information from allthatisinteresting.com by an article by Katie Serena, pretty much all copied and pasted, as well as a YouTube channel called Edge of Nightfall. And I'm not going to read the title of the video because it gives away my story.
Okay.
So
I'm ready.
This is the true story behind The Conjuring. The Perrin family. When The Conjuring film first came out in 2013, the audience and critics loved it due to its portrayal of the paranormal. It was assumed that the demonic hauntings of an innocent family in Rhode Island was fiction. However, the true story behind The Conjuring is based upon the horrifying true experience of Ed and Lorraine Warren. I have to say,
I'm excited.
Do a little segue. I don't know. I'm talking about something else now. I'm like so skeptical about ghosts. I'm not skeptical about anything else. Like, I am totally into like the occult, clairvoyant, witches, like all of that. Believe all of that, and I believe in spirits. Like, there has to be somewhere we go after we die. But for some reason, ghosts, I'm always so skeptical. So I had to choose a story that like involved like Satanism and witches and
everything, so that you everything. Feel like it,
so I feel like it's true, even though it sounds even more absurd. But anyway,
I kind of like, I get that as well. I'm not sure like what I believe in, but like I don't know. I understand. Like, I think with every like good story or like truthful sounding ghost story, like there's got to be like a reason or like something behind it, I think. Like, mine doesn't have that, but like, it's interesting. It's still fun. But yeah.
World War II veteran and police officer Ed Warren became a self-professed demonologist. I always say dermatologist. Demonologist. After studying the subject on his own. Which kind of dangerous. Like, I wouldn't want to be studying demonology on my own.
No fucking way.
Yeah.
Who would I mean, demonology, like, I would want to study that. That'd be interesting.
I would love
like,
to study that.
Scary. Like,
I feel like really you need scary. A few like prerequisites to say you're a demonologist, not just YouTube videos. Although maybe he took a course. I don't know. I'm assuming.
Are there courses? Can we do that?
Maybe.
Probably online.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. His wife, Lorraine, was a clairvoyant and a medium who was able to communicate to the demons that Ed had found. Really cute couple goals.
Off to a good start. Oh my god, couple goals. Yes, please.
Retweet your couple goals. In 1952, Ed and Lorraine founded the New England Society for Psychic Research, which is the oldest ghost hunting group in New England. And they quickly gained notoriety as copied and pasted as respected paranormal investigators after their initial investigation of the Amityville
horror house.
Their haunting. So they investigated them. They also They also investigated the Annabelle doll.
What year is this?
1952, they started the society, and then the story is set in 1971, so we jump a few years.
Okay. Yeah, and, like, Amityville Horror was, like, the 70s and, like, Got it.
Their two most famous cases were cemented in pop culture by the Conjuring movies, and despite people assuming that the films took some creative direction that made the experiences a little more dramatic than what they were, Lorraine states that everything depicted within the films actually happened. And she was on set making sure that none of the experiences were overstepped.
That's crazy.
Have you seen the films?
Yes, I have, but a while ago, and I can't really remember. I just remember the one with the old man.
Sorry, my sister just walked in. My dog has had a tube. He went to the vet and he had a tube down his throat and now he is gagging. No. I know.
Is he barking?
No, then, he's gagging. He's gagging. Meek, you
this
right,
podcast
puppy?
Is quality.
Oh, hello, darling. Oh.
What happened to him?
He had to just get his teeth cleaned, but they had to like put him down. Not death, but like
I get it.
I might just take him out of my room because he's gonna be really annoying.
Yeah.
Oh, but I love him. Sorry, you were talking about The Conjuring.
Oh, I was just saying I have seen the films, I think, or like one of them, but I just remember the one that has like the old man in the chair.
I haven't seen any of them, so I feel kind of
fraudy
telling the story, but maybe I'll watch it tonight.
Yeah, they're not that scary.
I'm trying to think of the scariest movie I've ever seen.
You know, the Babadook really scared me.
Oh, that was good. That was really scary.
Yeah.
I was thinking The Impossible, was it? It's not even a horror film. It's about the tsunami in Thailand and the family gets split apart.
Oh, my God. Yeah, there's tons of scary movies in that way. Like, it's, like, not scary, like, oh, it's a ghost. Like, scary, like, this is really fucked up and I hope this never happens to me or my family or whatever. But I haven't seen that. I don't know.
That made me, like, ugly cry. That was so sad.
Like tragedies and stuff. I hate watching stuff like that. It makes me feel so depressed. But I think I'm like pretty good.
We say
movies.
As we have a murder like, show.
I know. I'm just, what am I talking about? I don't know.
Watch Unsolved Mysteries. There's it's the second episode. Mm-hmm. No, the third episode. It's just, it's about that. It's like, everyone go watch it. It's fucking good. But you didn't really like it that much, did you?
No, I haven't started. I think I started like the first 10 minutes. I'm just really busy right now because I'm watching The Vampire Diaries.
So busy
doing that. I started it at the start of the first Isolation and I'm still going strong. I'm on the last season.
Wow, how many seasons are there?
Eight.
How many seasons?
Eight.
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not for me, but I'm glad you're enjoying it.
Thank you. So much fun. I'm Team Damon, if anyone's wondering.
Yeah, no one was.
They would be.
They yeah, maybe be. Someone.
Someone is. Okay. Someone is.
Okay. Someone
email us ever. At Team Spirits
Podcast.
Just let
us know.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Sorry, we got distracted. So
start
what actually so
yeah,
what actually happened to the Perrin family? This is the family that it's based on. Okay. During the winter of 1971, Roger and Caroline Perrin with their five daughters moved to the farmhouse in Harrisville, Rhode Island. The 200-acre piece of land, which was also known as the Old Arnold Estate, was built in 1736. Immediately after the family moved into their home, they began to notice strange occurrences. Carolyn.
Spooky.
Spooky. Strange occurrences. Carolyn would notice that the broom went missing or seemed to move from place to place on its own. She would hear the sounds of something scraping against the kettle in the kitchen when no one was there. She'd find small piles of dirt in the center of the newly cleaned kitchen floor, which would just be annoying.
Same. Yeah.
The first set of spirits that the parents encountered were friendly. They would watch the children play and even interact with them.
And so did they see them? Like, how did they know they were there?
I don't know. Like sense
well, we encountered
it, maybe?
A first set and you know, they just played
spirits.
With the children. We didn't really mind. So funny, except they're American, not British, but like whatever. That's how I imagine it in my head. Like just like, oh yes, some new nannies.
Photos would fall off the wall, beds began to levitate, and childlike spirits roamed the halls, keeping the family up at night. According to Andrea, the eldest daughter, the family experienced other spirits that smelled like rotting flesh. I know, how gross.
That's so gross.
I still like reading this. I'm like, that's not true. It's not true. It's not true. But like, it must be true.
It could be true.
It's so weird.
Why not?
It's so weird.
Lots of people actually have read lots of stories about people saying like with bad spirits, they smell like rotting flesh and stuff
really?
Like that. Like that's I listened to, what did I listen to? I listened to an MFM episode the other day about, I don't know if it was a recent one or if I just went back to listen to one that I hadn't heard. It was like the story, it was like this house in like California and I can't remember like all the details, but it was like a single mum there with her like daughter and there was like a really like evil spirit in the house and she said she could smell like rotting flesh and like foam and stuff would come out of like the walls from the ceiling and like cracks in the walls and it smelled like rotting flesh and then they got it sent away to be tested and it was like human plasma, which is what like people get plasma infusions if they're like sick and stuff like that. It's like it's like human DNA.
Oh
yeah,
ew.
It was so weird. I know. It's so creepy. So it just reminds me of that, like so gross and like visceral and
so gross. Ugh, yuck.
Keep going.
according to Andrea, I read that.
Yeah.
flesh, rotting flesh. She claims her father would she claims her father would enter the basement and feel a cold, stinking presence behind him. They often stayed away from the dirt-floored cellar, but the heating equipment would often fail mysteriously, making Roger have to go down into the cellar.
Carolyn, don't go down there, Roger. No. No. Roger.
Carolyn allegedly, that was good. Carolyn allegedly researched the history of the home and discovered that it had been in the same family for 8 generations and that many of them had died under mysterious or horrible circumstances. Several of the children had drowned in a nearby creek, one was murdered, and a few of them had hung themselves in the attic. However,
oh my lord.
Yeah. After a while, incandescent spirits began to make themselves known. Do you like that word? I like changed it. I looked up the synonym for
angry. What does that mean?
It means angry, but just fancier.
I was like,
I'm not going to use like, angry.
I'm going to use incandescent. Good one, Camille. Good one.
Thank you. Yeah, I was like, let's not copy and paste. Let's change one word. One spirit was particularly incandescent. Incandescent, can't even say it. Whoever the spirit was, she perceived herself to be the mistress of the house, and she resented the competition that my mother possessed for that position, said Andrea. Her name was Bathsheba.
It's weird because it sounds, do you think it was like, was it actually legit her name, or was it like what they called her as the spirit? Because I think a lot of spirits have those sorts of names. Oh, demons.
I've got the answer for you, honey Gara.
Okay.
So this entity, who the parents assumed to be Bathsheba, my answer's later on. I thought I was about to answer it. You have to wait a bit.
That's fine. That's all good.
This entity who the parents assumed to be Bathsheba targeted Carolyn out of malicious jealousy. Bathsheba physically harmed Carolyn as much as possible and at one point woke Carolyn up and said, get out, I'll drive you out with death and gloom.
How'd you say that?
I don't know.
What form is she taking? Like, is she like, physically there? Okay.
In the movie, she's physically there. I'm not exactly sure in real life. But Bathsheba was described as a hideous woman whose head leant to the side as if it had been snapped. Carolyn also claimed that she was stabbed with what felt like a sewing needle. So keep that, store that away for later because it's going to come back.
Sewing needle.
Mm-hmm.
She was a seamstress. Anyway.
Over the 10 years that the parents lived in the house, the Warrens, the couple I mentioned in the beginning, made multiple visits to investigate. When the Warrens first entered the home, Lorraine could sense a dark entity attached to Carolyn. The Warrens then performed cleansings around the house. However, that just aggravated the spirits even more. Once Lorraine held a seance in an attempt to contact the spirits. However, during the seance, Carolyn became possessed with what they thought to be Bathsheba. She spoke in different tongues and rose from the ground in her chair.
That's so scary. I hate possession stuff. It creeps me out. So freaky.
I know, it's crazy. This is a quote from Andrea, the eldest daughter. They did a seance that went terribly wrong, and they opened a door that they were unable to close that night. I thought I was going to pass out. My mother began to speak a language not of this world in a voice not her own. Her chair levitated and she was thrown across the room. After that, the father, Roger, Carolyn's husband, kicked Ed and Lorraine out of the house. But due to financial restraints, the parents were unable to move out of the house for 7 years. So the sewing needle is important as it gives clues to who Bathsheba may have been when she was alive. In the 1800s, a woman by the name of Bathsheba Sherman, originally Bathsheba Fair, lived on the parents' property. She was born in 1812 on Rhode Island. On March 10th, 1844, Bathsheba married Justin Sherman and moved to Arnold Estate, which is the house they live at. Bathsheba and Justin had a son named Herman L. Sherman, which is just the funniest name.
What the fuck are with these names? They're so funny.
Herman.
It's so funny.
It is also believed that Bathsheba had 3 other children, all of which died during childhood. But like, I feel like that's not uncommon for the 1800s.
No, that's probably not that uncommon. Yeah.
In this episode of Horrible Histories, they said that they didn't even name their kids before the age of 12 because they just kept dying. Like they just didn't waste. Yeah, just be like, names.
Oh well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
child number 7.
We don't want to get attached. Yeah. No. Oh my god, that's awful.
However, the fact that her children were dropping like flies sparked rumors that she was a witch who sacrificed one of her children to Satan. But then again, that's kind of like, didn't everyone back in the 1800s
just be like, you're a witch?
You're a witch.
I mean, I think that whole like, you know, when we like Salem and stuff and like, but I don't know, maybe like it still carried on to the 1800s. Like you'd think that maybe it would have, people would be like less stupid, but probably women are just demonized in general.
Yeah.
Not being good mothers. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like go and everything else we do, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kill your children.
Just do it.
Do it. Oh, my God. No, oh, not really. I dare awful. You.
I reckon like she didn't kill her children though. And she was just like, I mean, maybe you're going to tell me, but maybe she just.
Don't speak
okay.
too soon.
All right, let's go. Okay. I was trying to be on her side.
But the backing behind these rumors is when a child who died within her care was examined, authorities came to the conclusion that she was stabbed in the head with a sewing needle.
Oh my god. Stabbed in the head with a sewing needle. Okay, so I'm gonna just say I don't support Bathsheba anymore.
No.
I did try and like root for her for a little bit.
I was rooting for her for a bit. I was like, you know what? She's just angry that Carolyn's in the house. And then I kept on like reading.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's the case. Fucked.
Yeah.
How even do you do that? Like, would she put it in the temple or something? Probably like a big sewing needle.
Oh yeah.
Like,
I was trying to think too. And I was like, how does it go through?
Yeah. It seems a little bit weird, but maybe she killed them in another way and she just was like torturing them with needles or something.
Yeah. Ooh.
I reckon in the temple. They say the temple would work. Very,
through the eye.
Yeah, and it's soft.
Up the nose.
Yeah.
Bit of a coronavirus situation.
I was just about to say that. I was like, bit of a COVID test.
Those hurt. Wow. They're bad.
Have you had one?
Oh, yeah, I had one because I was feeling, I had a sore throat. So I was like, better get tested.
Oh, yeah.
And they like shoved it. Like, they didn't stop. Just like kept on going.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't had one yet, but like my dad's had one and Oscar's had a couple and like a few people I know didn't have that
I
much.
Hated like it. I was like my nose and my throat because they have to like touch your what's the dangly thing?
Tonsils.
In your throat. Yeah.
Tonsils.
They had to touch and like swab that, and so you're really like getting in there.
Oh. Yeah.
So Bathsheba died in spring of 1885. Some say she hung herself, which would explain the broken neck that the woman is seeing, like how she was tilted on the side. Eventually, the Perrin family moved to Georgia. One of my sources said that the spirits followed them, which was the YouTube video, but my other source said that the spirits didn't follow them, which was the article. And I feel like I'm weighting my opinion on the article more.
I would go with the article, and I just think like it makes sense because it sounds like the spirits are so ingrained in that household,
exactly.
And like
why
would they
pack
leave
up?
It because they wanted them to leave.
Exactly,
that's why they were doing everything. Exactly. So why would they follow them? Like they're just like no.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then, however, in 2011, Andrea. wrote her three-part book, which then paved way for the movie The Conjuring. And that is the end of my story. There was a whole other story about the Enfield haunting, and I read about it.
Yeah.
And it's like Ed and Lorraine also investigated it. It was in London, I think, after this. I don't know. It sounded pretty like made up to me, but who am I to judge?
So you
I got the tick of approval from this one, but the other one, I didn't want to tell.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
well,
the
that
story.
Was good. That was so good.
Thank
it's
you.
So creepy. It's like so imagine creepy. Experiencing that.
I know.
I just can't even, that'd be fucked up. It was so good.
I was so nervous on the first episode.
I'm still jittery, but I think it's more excitement jitters.
Yeah. No, I get excited. Like, I don't feel that nervous because I just feel like I'm talking to you, but I know that other people listen to it. And then when I listened back to it, I was like, oh, people are actually listening to this. Like, this is funny.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay. It's fine.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy to think that cool. People are like listening to this right now. It's like, hello.
Hi. Hey guys. How are you?
Like, what are they doing right now?
I don't know. They're probably like cooking or something. So I've just written like a little thing as well. I was just going to say that I've always been obsessed with ghosts and like creepy stories. I'm just making my thing a bit smaller. Yeah, I've always been really obsessed with just like creepy shit since I was really little, like since I can remember, but also been completely terrified by it, as I was mm-hmm. saying before. But I was thinking about this the other day and when I was researching stuff, and I remembered that when I was like, maybe 8 or something.
Yeah.
I remember thinking I would be okay with seeing Roald Dahl's ghost because I really liked his books. That was like the one person. I just remember being in bed and being like, all right, like if I have to see a ghost, you know, it's Roald okay Dahl if it's Roald okay. Dahl. Yeah. That'd be okay. But I don't think he was actually the greatest guy. So, but I didn't know that at the time. But I just remember that and I thought that was really funny. Apparently he was kind of a misogynist, like to his.
Oh, aren't they all though?
Family. Yeah, I know. It's just a weird time. But yeah, anyway, don't really know much about that. But it was mostly my auntie Alana, who got me into like ghosts and scary stuff like that because she always had really, really cool stories
mm-hmm.
about spirituals. Like she was super spiritual stuff. That she is super spiritual. Like I'm saying, like she doesn't exist anymore, but she does. She just lives in Queensland. And obviously mm-hmm. we live in Melbourne now. But yeah, she told me this really scary story, which is the one that I wanted to do for this episode, but I just figured it was too short. So I was just going to like summarize it quickly. But this is kind of the story that got me into ghosts, particularly because mm-hmm. I remember it freaked me out so much. She told me that when she was a teenager, she was at like a gathering with her friends and they were all just hanging out and stuff. And then someone was like, hey, let's play with a Ouija board. And
I want to do that so bad. I want to do that
fucking way. Listen to this story. It's so bad. No, it's so bad. It freaks me out.
I love it.
No.
One day we have to do an episode and we're on
the Ouija board. No way. You will never ever get me to do this. Listen to this story, Camille. Listen to this.
Okay. It's making me excited. She said, so
they get on a Ouija board to play. And they ask it to show them if there's someone in the room, like they start trying to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly the curtains in the room just blow up, like there's been a huge gust of wind and they just, you know, go up in the air and they're like, oh shit, like, well, this is crazy. Like, you know, they asked it for a sign and that's what happened. And then she said that it started to communicate some stuff and then it started to spell out kill Jill. Over and over and over again. And Jill was one of their friends and she was in a different room. She wasn't with them, you know, doing the Ouija board stuff. She was just hanging out because it was like a little party thing. And they got really freaked out and they were like, oh no, this is really bad. It just kept spelling out kill Jill. And so they tried to burn the paper that they had been writing it on. And someone went and got a lighter and they were trying to burn it. And then the lighter like exploded in their hands. And yeah, and they were like, oh no, this is really bad. And it just felt really awful. Like she said, it was just so creepy and like everything just felt really wrong suddenly. And so they had to run and they ended up burning it on the stove to burn the paper because apparently that's kind of happens like to end the thing. But she, I don't know if they did anything else to end the, like it's kind of like a seance, isn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah. Basically, she just told me, like, don't ever fuck with spirits because some of them are really angry and, like, they do freaky shit and, like, some of them are mad because they're, like, stuck. I reckon they're stuck in, like, an in-between.
Oh, totally.
For them to be able to communicate.
Back on
with
Vampire
us.
Diaries, there's quite a few realms. Oh,
I reckon, you know, like, not that as I was saying, I don't actually know if I completely believe in ghosts because I don't have any personal experience, but I would think that, like, when you think about sensory perception and everything, I can't help but feel like there's, you know, like a radio where there's different frequencies because 100%. You see like the way that animals interact with, mm-hmm. You know, using their different senses and they tune into things we can't even kind of comprehend or understand. Exactly. So I just feel like there's got to be stuff like that going on.
Oh, it makes me so excited.
I know, it's really fun.
Like, this story has not scared me. It scared me, but it's made me more excited. Like, it just makes me go, yeah, I want to try that.
Yeah, not me, but but it is really fun. Okay, so I'll start my story though. That okay. was just my little okay. precursor. I found this story on Reddit by that guy underscore there, capitals mm-hmm. on each word. And he posted it on an Ask Reddit thread about people's creepiest unexplained stories, which is what I was talking about before. And I messaged him because I just wanted to make sure that I could talk about it on here. And you know, he said that was totally cool. He was actually like, thank you so much for asking me. But he did want me to mention that he's starting a YouTube account, I'm pretty sure with his girlfriend or his partner, where he wants to talk about the story as well. So when that comes out, he's going to send me a link to it. And I'm going to put it in the description so that we mm-hmm. can, so that our listeners can
share
click on that and they can hear him listen to his own story and they can share it and stuff. Yeah, so basically I'm just going to tell it pretty much exactly word for word as he's written it. But in some cool. areas, I think he like simplified sentences so they were a bit shorter. So I've just filled them out a bit, like I haven't changed them. So he says that they, which is him and his, I think it's his girlfriend. He says partner, but I think in his message to me, he said me and my girlfriend. Mm-hmm. But I might just say partner just in case,
yeah,
you know. That's yeah, not I don't the case. Actually know that for yeah. sure. Or she or they might not be she. So yeah, he said that they moved in with a close friend who is in the big bedroom of the house. Then along the hall is a study, the bathroom, and then at the end of the hall is the little bedroom, which I believe they're staying in.
Okay. Ugh, so the little bedroom.
in his words. Downstairs, there's the front door. To the right of the front door, a massively long living room, and running along the living room, a hall. One wall of the hall is just open banister / the stairways to upstairs or the stairway to upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
The hall ends at the kitchen and the basement door is tucked under the stairs. The kitchen is very open concept and opens out to a back sunroom looking out onto the backyard, which is divided by the kitchen counter. At first, there was nothing. Some nights, if you had to go to the kitchen for water, there was sort of a creepy feeling, but it's an old house and we didn't have to go down for water that often. But about a month or so in, Friendlord, because it's their friend who's their landlord,
asks us
if we come down in the night to close the cupboard and put the glasses that we use in the sink, since he's always finding glasses on the counter in the morning. We can't say it's not us because who knows, but we agree to make an effort to do that. But he notes that it keeps happening. We start to be able to say confidently, it's not us. If we're up early, we notice it as well. Then our cat starts avoiding the kitchen. Not horror movie style hissing and stuff. He just doesn't go back there. He just sticks to the front of the house. So the downstairs starts to get cold at night and our landlord looks for heat leaks, but he doesn't find any. But old houses often have shit circulation. We collectively shrug. Not too long after, our landlord couple split up. So it was their landlords were a couple. Rooms get rearranged. My partner and I move into the big bedroom. The former study becomes our landlord's bedroom, and another friend of ours moves into the little bedroom, which was at the end of the hall. We're all D&D players, Dungeons and Dragons. Yeah,
I know.
Pretty cool. Yeah. I've never played it, but Oscar, who's my boyfriend, if people don't know, because they might not, he likes it, I'm pretty sure. So we're all D&D players and we often have weekends where we play games together. Life is good. But the downstairs drifts towards creepy at night. My partner starts sending me down for their water. I start making a little too much noise coming down the stairs and into the kitchen on purpose. It feels like I'm going to walk in on someone. I remember one night in particular, I felt my heart start to speed up. And felt this really intense feeling coming into the kitchen. I remember pushing over to the left to put maximum distance between whoever might be in the kitchen, but then coming around the corner, there was nobody there.
Ah, it's freaking me out.
Yeah, it's a really, anyway, I'll keep going. So sometimes in the morning, we'd find the fridge door or the cupboard, one specific one, open. I mentioned this to our Queen's Engineering landlord friend. He measures, they're flat, adds something, maybe a magnet, I forget what, to the cupboard to keep it closed, but it keeps happening. There's still sometimes a glass on the counter in the morning. Sometimes at night we hear someone coming up the stairs, which, you know, no surprise, there's four people in the house at this point and not infrequent guests. But sometimes we hear it two or three times, one right after the other, with nobody going down or up in between. A couple of times the person in the little bedroom asks us if we're up and down on the night because she's heard it too in the hall and the bathroom a couple of times. We weren't. A few times both my partner and our roommate get the impression that someone is waiting for them outside the bathroom. They call out that they'll be just a minute, figuring it's just me, and they're super weirded out to learn that I was in the bedroom or downstairs. It's hard to describe, but everyone keeps getting these impressions of someone else in the house. In the bathroom, there's a gloriously large mirror behind the sink along the wall. It's about 6 foot long, and from the bathroom counter to the ceiling, I don't like looking in it. I always get the impression that I'm going to see someone behind me, but I'm such a scaredy cat and I watch too many horror movies. I don't know if anyone else has had this experience in a house before, but I haven't had that sense since. Again, you know, he's saying that he's just had it in this house particularly. The person in the little bedroom mentions that sometimes she's felt like someone was testing the knob / the latch on her door. She asks if it was me or my partner. We're all comfortable enough with each other that, you know, the possibility isn't particularly weird. We might have just been, you know, trying to get their attention or something, or not wake them up. It gets weird though when we confirm it wasn't us. My partner and our roomie are both students at this point, so they get time at home alone in the house. Both keep leaving all the lights on when they're home alone. Both play music a lot and both avoid going downstairs because the upstairs just feels more comfortable when you're there alone. Note, we're still having people over for big D&D sessions in the large downstairs living room. When the house is full of 5, 7, 10, 20 plus people, it doesn't feel very creepy. We occasionally discuss the strangeness of the house, how it is always really cold and feels very hostile. Our landlord says he just uses it for storage and tries not to think about it. We all note that we're keeping the door stop in the basement and the door in place all the time, keeping it closed. We all just seem to think that it's a good idea. Eventually, our landlord friend gets a job in Ottawa. I think that's how you say it. Ottawa.
Ottawa. Ottawa. In Canada.
Ottawa. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Ottawa. It's Canada. Ottawa. It's right up the top. Ottawa. Yeah. I think they're in, it says it. Anyway, I'll say it at the end. It's definitely in it. They're not in Canada. They're in America, but I'm pretty sure. But actually, maybe. No, they are in Canada. Mm-hmm. What am I talking about? Yeah, no, they are. It says where they are, though, I'm pretty sure. But they're obviously not that far away from Ottawa, maybe. So eventually, our landlord friend gets a job in Ottawa. He keeps the house and the room and visits often on weekends, so they can't be too far away. Yeah. Our other roommate moves out as she gets out of school. Now it's just us in the house most of the time.
Yo.
It's just them together. So now with everyone gone, we can semi-regularly hear someone walking down the hall to our room at night. But the door doesn't open. The footsteps are distinct. Our cat reacts to them. Not horror movie hissing again, but oh, who's that? To looking towards the door, but then nothing happens. My partner starts to feel faint regularly, but that might be unrelated as blood tests note a B12 deficiency.
Yeah, iron deficiency. Clover's...
Yeah, she could just have that. My dog is barking. Please stop, Clover. She's so annoying. I think you can hear her bark actually once in our other episode.
Oh, really? I didn't even hear that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a single bark. And also, there were these noises, and I was like, what is that? But I think it was me, like, with my papers. But I think it's not too bad because,
yeah,
you know, it gives a bit of character.
Spices it up a little bit.
You know? Okay, so I think she stopped barking. I'll just keep going. Downstairs becomes inhospitable at night. We feel unwelcome there. I don't know why I said it like that. But, yeah, we feel unwelcome there, like an intruder. The basement, always creepy, becomes foreboding. One of our friends is a rough and ready fight and fuck punk rocker. We dare him to go into the basement to use the washroom because there's a toilet down there. He goes down, then comes up and heads upstairs to piss, saying that he felt all exposed down there.
Oh, not the one punk night, rocker.
I know. If he can't go in there, no one can. There's no chance. One night, my partner and I are watching TV. Oh my God, I saw something outside my window.
Don't, damn, no.
It was a bird, it's fine.
I'm freaking out. I love feeling scared. I feel like I make myself feel more scared just so I can feel it. I just love it.
It's like adrenaline.
It's so good.
Fear junkie. Mm-hmm. Okay, so one night, my partner and I are watching TV in our bedroom and I head downstairs to get snacks. We'd just gone grocery shopping that day and some of the bags of stuff are still out in the kitchen. All the fridge stuff is away. But this is just like bags of chips for D&D night, cases of pop, that sort of stuff. I ran the stairs, turned down the hall, which looks into the kitchen, and I swear I see one of the bags rustle as if someone's just rooted through it or dropped something in it. I froze, stood there for about 20 seconds or so, and then noped it back upstairs. My partner asked me where the snacks were, and I made out like I'd forgotten them and that I'd go back down for them in a bit. On the weekends, we mention all of this to our landlord. He tends to agree that the place is haunted. He says that he's had incidents too, like the doorknob to his room and study has been turning while he's home alone. For mostly unrelated reasons, the decision is made for us to move on. I'm like, how is that unrelated? I would be like, no, I can't live in this house.
The shower's really bad.
Like the fact that, the water pressure.
The water pressure, just wasn't terrible. Doing it for me.
But like the fact that, oh my God, just be so scary. Like the fact that when they're home alone, they're hearing people, like someone walking down the hallway, stuff like that. Like that is terrifying. So the landlord's coming down less often and his work keeps him busier. We're looking for some more space. We mutually set a date and the landlord sets up to sell the house. But there's one major incident left to come before we move on. It's August and it's hot. The air conditioning in the house is never great. And while I forget why, I don't think it was working at this point. We're a few weeks from moving away, so some of our stuff is already boxed. My partner has chased me out of bed and with no other easy choice, I'm downstairs in the back room off the kitchen on our pull-out couch. Obviously, it was too hot for like them to sleep in the same bed, so he's sleeping downstairs. Mm-hmm. It's hot, I'm hot, it's unpleasant and uneasy, and it's late. I'm lying on the couch, but I'm not asleep yet. I was reading, if I remember correctly. I hear my partner calling me from upstairs, but it sounds strained. But honestly, I'm hot, it's late, and I'm tired. I bet I'm about to be asked to bring my partner a nighttime water. I pad through the kitchen and start down the hall. I hear her call again, a little more urgently. As mentioned above, one wall of the hall is the stairs to the upstairs. The hall runs from the foyer to the kitchen. I come out of the kitchen and I'm just about to start down the hall, about to call up to my partner to find out what she needs. So I look upwards along the banister. There's someone standing there.
No.
It's not a person. It's not a person. It's more like a person-shaped shadow. It's a patch of darkness, but it's in a person's shape. It has a head. It has shoulders, a torso, and arms. As I look up, it's bending down and around the banister to see me. And I see its hand tighten on the banister for balance, just like I'd do if I was standing at the top of the stairs trying to see down into the kitchen. I remember thinking in that moment, what the heck is that? And being suddenly very, very afraid. And then it's gone. There's no intermediary step. It doesn't shift, contort, or fade. It sort of just becomes translucent for half a second and then it's gone. It was distinct and then it wasn't.
Oh.
Isn't it so creepy?
It's terrifying.
Here's where it gets weirder to me.
Oh my God, it keeps
I've heard my partner calling, sounding strained. I've seen this definitely strange, seemingly figure on the stairs, literally craning its head down Yuck. Off the banister to look at him in the kitchen, who's coming around to try and call out. I've had my heart in my throat, but suddenly I'm tired, like my arms and legs are lead weight tired, just totally wiped. I turn and stumble back to the pull-out couch, desperately wanting to get some sleep. I collapse on the couch. And then my head springs right back. What the hell was that? Is my partner safe? I clamber through the kitchen, watch the stairs as I run down the hall and then head up the stairs two at a time. Once upstairs, I call for my partner and come skidding down the hall towards our bedroom. The door's already open and she's sitting up in bed, eyes wide, looking totally freaked. Were you calling me? I asked. Weren't you calling me? She says. I wasn't. There was something standing on the stairs. Did you see it? I asked. I think I saw someone like in the hallway up by our door. Are you sure you weren't calling me? I was sure. She was sure something, not a person, more like an impression, was heading down the hall a few moments before I got there. I know I saw something on the stairs, but can understand if you, reader, or as you know now, listener, don't believe me. I'm not sure I'd believe another person either.
I believe.
And then 2 weeks later, as scheduled, we moved out. House sells to a rich couple so their kids can move in and go to Queens, fond memories, find farewells. Isn't that Oh, fucked.
That was so good.
He got like, he's, you know, he said he just got suddenly so exhausted and he had to go and lie back down. And then he realized like, what the fuck am I doing? No, my partner was just yelling out to me and I saw something really fucking creepy on the stairs.
I'm just imagining. And then she thought, Slenderman kind of figure.
Yeah. That's what I have in my head as well. And she like, how she thought that he was calling to her, but he thought, like they both thought they were calling to each other, but none of them were, which means it must have been the figure, maybe.
Yeah.
It was strained. Yeah. And then at the bottom of this, he's done a little update. Or they've done an update saying years have passed. We're living in an apartment down in Portsmouth now. We have a several month old baby. I woke up with the baby that morning. I think he means, maybe I'll say it. I don't know how he's kind of written it in like past tense, but that's fine. I'll just say that. I've woke up with the baby that morning and it's bottle time. I turn on the TV to have adults talking. And because my brain isn't on yet, Creepy Canada is on, which is great. Creepy Canada. I've never seen that, but no. I looked it up and it looks pretty cool. It's on YouTube. So the episode is talking about a Queen's student. Oh, it's the Kingston episode. That's cool. This student talks about their house near Skeleton, I think that's what it's called, Skeleton Park. Cupboards opening, footsteps on stairs. Wait a second. It says that the biggest event was she was in the foyer and felt like someone was watching her from the stairs. She turned and saw two people in turn of the century clothes on the landing. Creepy Canada does recreations on its show. And what fucking landing is that? Well, it's the fucking foyer, but the one that we used to live in on York Street. So that's my ghost story. I actually skipped / missed some details / events too, I believe now, but I can't blame you. If you don't believe me, it wouldn't have convinced me either. If I hadn't have lived through it. So they literally watched an episode of Creepy Canada where the people who obviously bought the house after them had these experiences and they decided to go on the show about it and it was their fucking house. Isn't that insane?
It's insane. It just proves that like other people see it.
Yeah. It's not just them or whatever that they experienced it, but how creepy. Oh, I think his story is a lot creepier than like that. I don't know if I like the turn of the century clothes thing. Seems a bit far-fetched to me, but his thing is really creepy because it's just so ominous and it's like, what the fuck did he see? Like, it's so weird.
So
that's my story.
Oh my gosh, that was so good. That was so good.
You. That guy there on Reddit. You can read the story. Yeah, you can. It's that guy _ there with capitals on the each word. And you can read his story. And yeah, like I said, we will definitely get the link for his YouTube so everyone can go check
I'll at that least out. Link and the Reddit just so people can go see that.
Yeah, do that. Yeah, and actually he has in his Reddit linked the Creepy Canada episode on YouTube. So you can actually watch the episode where he's talking about that he watched years later with his kid and went, oh, I used to live there. So yeah, that was cool. Did that sound
so
right?
Good. Yeah, that was so good.
So creepy. Yeah, so that's our stories of the paranormal.
So good.
I'm glad you liked it.
I love it. You could tell me those stories all day, honey, Garrett.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I'll keep them. I've got like some written down, but that was my favorite. Like, I've actually got another that was really good that I found on Reddit, and I also asked their permission, and they were like, "Yeah, no worries. Just send me the link." So,
oh my gosh,
when we've done it, so we'll have to do another episode with this kind of stuff. Because it's really fun to talk about.
See, I love listening to it, but like writing ghost stories and stuff, I hate like making the story.
Yeah.
Because I just like hearing it. I find it really fun.
Yeah. So good. No, it's really fun listening. But this one was really easy for me because I just used his story. So yeah, I actually loved like speaking. I'm such a, I don't know. Love I just really talking. Like talking. Everyone knows that I talk so much. So
it's
yeah.
good. This you're is, doing like, the right thing. Yeah.
My mum was like, I can't imagine, like, I'm glad that you're doing this because you just never shut up and like, finally found something that accommodates that. But yeah. Should we finish up?
Yeah.
Should we say goodbye? Is there anything else that we want to touch on? Everyone, thank you for listening.
We should say, remember to rate and review. I think that's what podcasters say.
Can you do that on Spotify?
I'm not sure how people can do that, but we need them to do something.
Yeah, I think download the episode. I think that's a good thing. So follow us on Spotify. You can follow our account or our podcast, and you can, listen to the episode. I don't know if you can like it because I don't know if it's a bit different to songs. If you can like it, please do that. But yeah, download it. Yeah, but we will also have these episodes out pretty soon on like Apple Podcasts and a couple other platforms. You can also listen on Apple Podcasts hopefully soon. So when you can do that, rate and review on there because that's what like matters, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, I think
that's it. Follow us on Instagram at Team Spirits Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Team Spirits Pod because they didn't let me do cast. Yeah. Too long.
That's fine.
You can email us at teamspiritspodcast@gmail.com to send us your scary stories to read out.
Yeah, send us your stories. If you have a good story that is like as good as that guy there's story,
that's the bar. Because if it's below, we're not going to read it.
That's the level that we've set. Like it's really good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you guys for listening. Hope you have a good time.
Good day. Good
okay.
Bye.
Goodbye. Bye.
Bye.